Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And on today's Startup Chat episode, we're going to talk about how to give equity to team members.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And specifically early on, I think that's probably one of the more challenging times when companies have to do it.
Yep.
And I'm just going to kick it off by saying I have seen people write formulas about this. There's companies like Buffer that are super transparent about how they give equity and what the calculation is. So there are a lot of places that you can look, like the Buffer transparency, equity, salary type stuff. And there's a few other companies that have done that, all the way to just reading up online. And I'm sure Venture Hacks has something on this, as well as Quora. So we're just going to give our take on it, because I don't think either of us really believes that there's a formula, because I really don't.
Yeah.
And there really, honestly, in my experience, there also is no right answer. And I will start by saying one thing. Today, there are norms on how equity is given, and also at a startup, and also how it is vested. So I'll tell you what those are. So usually there's a year cliff and there's a four-year vesting. Four-year vesting means if you are, let's say, given the equivalent in terms of shares of like, you know, a quarter percentage in a company, you don't get any of it if you don't stay a year. So that's what the cliff means. There's a year cliff, which means you're essentially on a trial period on your equity until you hit the year. The second you hit the year, you get that first chunk, which is 1/4 of that quarter point of equity, because it's a four-year vesting, which means that you get these shares over a four-year period, except your first shot comes a year in. And then usually, I think it's monthly vesting, if I'm not mistaken. But again, this has a lot to do with the paperwork. But this is the standard that's been around for a long time. There are some companies, I don't remember the exact ones, but out there, that have started changing up the kind of norms around this stuff greatly. And there's all kinds of other rules that they've come up with, just because 4 years and the cliff and all this stuff didn't really work well for them, or they just weren't happy with it and wanted to change things up. In some cases, it's a recruiting strategy to do it differently, but that's basically the norm. So I think we should focus on aligning with the norm, even though there are other folks that have definitely done things that are different. I mean, on my end, I don't have a big opinion. If I were to really start a company today that's venture-backed and there was a lot of equity to be given, that's one of the reasons people wanted to join because of that kind of upside, I would probably personally be just evaluating the different kinds of ways that people were doing it to see if any of those might be appealing to me. Otherwise, if I just wanted to, you know, not spend a lot of time on it, I'd go with the standard like I just described.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great framework. I think that especially in the early days, many startups struggle with the equity question because it's very rare that people have done a startup multiple times and are very experienced, right? I would venture to say that most startups that are being created right now are created by people that are first-time founders. Don't have any real data to back that up, but that's kind of my impression I have, anecdotally at least. And so you're doing this for the first time and you don't quite yet know what is fair, what isn't, and how to divide things up between different people. In some cases, it seems obvious and easy. It's, let's say, two founders or three co-founders. They all obviously bring equal value, experience, and skill. They all spend equal amount of time. So they're like, well, 33, you know, we'll just equally divide up the equity to start with. But many cases are not as simple. You know, either it was one person that worked on this for 3 months and then the second person joined. How do we value these 3 months? How do we value the fact that somebody had the idea and all those types of things? Or somebody is very technical, the other person isn't. It's a very technical product. And then the question is, well, me as the technical co-founder, since we're building this highly technical solution, should I get a lot more equity than my business development co-founder or my marketing co-founder, whatever it is? And then even more interesting is down the line, not even just between the founders, but first employees, kind of the first, second, and third employees, especially if these people again, are not experienced, which many will not be, they come to the table and they're like, all right, so the two co-founders have worked on this for whatever, 4 months. They're right now raising money, but there's no money raised. The product is very bare bones. I'm joining. I'm taking some kind of a pay cut. And I should probably maybe not get as much equity as them, but at least, I mean, the numbers that early employees will think that don't have any startup experience is always going to be something that is probably way too high. Like maybe I should get 15, 20% or something like that. And then it becomes kind of awkward and complicated. I mean, thankfully, there's a lot more education out there. There's a lot more standards. There's a lot more material. So people can get educated on all levels. 10 years ago, this was much more rare, so it's much trickier to not get this wrong. But how do you think about, like, how do teams kind of navigate through maybe some circumstances that are not standard, so they don't find standard answers to these kind of things that seem very individual to them?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen equity as a standard thing until much later in a company. Once you have, you know, once you're past about a dozen people or so, sometimes it happens faster if the founders just have kind of, you know, are very thoughtful about equity and do it. But again, like I said, a lot of companies do like weird stuff. Weird stuff meaning just outside of the norm, different vesting schedules, or, you know, have this thing about wanting to make sure the first 10 people in the company each are, you know, incentivized. So they all have 1% of the company or something like that. So, you know, at the end of the day, what really matters is that the people you're hiring are incentivized to do the job that you're hiring them to do. And that's what I really go back to. And because the thing that is most often forgotten about equity is that you're usually 99% of the time, especially in an early stage company, giving it once to that team member, and you're giving it to them. And this is the messed up part. You're giving it to them before you really know how effective they can be in your company. And that's why there's this year cliff thing. It's like the biggest tool we have, right or wrong, because some people think it's bad, but right or wrong, you have a year, you know, to prove yourself that equity is, you know, something that you should have in this company. And that has a lot to do with staying at the company for a year and being able to do a great job. So to me, like, if you want to get into specific numbers and things like that, like in the earliest stages, it's like it doesn't really matter how much equity you're giving up to a team member within reason, as long as the team member is happy and incentivized and you're happy and incentivized. Like, I've seen people that come from corporate that join an early stage startup, and, you know, the way that that's negotiated is that, oh, your salary is obviously going to drop down quite a bit. That's like 99% of the cases. And then it's compensated by equity somehow. But the equity is not really meaningful until many years down the line, usually, right? So it's like, it's all in the negotiation of like, okay, you're taking a salary hit. You know, maybe you have a family or something like that. Like, I'm just saying, on the extreme case, if I'm negotiating with someone who's expensive, right? Expensive because they come from corporate, but you know, you really want them in your company, then the lever is like, here's salary and here's some amount of, here's equity and here's some value that we're assigning to that equity. And it's not necessarily the value per share, you know, like you do, you know, legally, and you know how much shares are worth, but it's more some, you know, implied value that those shares have. And you could give people like a construct like, okay, you know, the founders, let's say there's two founders currently, you know, let's say you raise some money or something. Currently they own, you know, 40% of the company each or something like that. And then you're willing to give this like new person like 1% of the company or 2% of the company. And, you know, and their salary is cut down but to a third of what it used to be. But the person's okay with that, because they have, you know, like a relatively significant stake as just an employee in the company. I don't just mean just, but like compared to a founder, they're an employee, then there's founders. I mean, the founders usually took the biggest risk. So a lot of times the way that I would think about this is the earlier that someone is in your company, the more equity they should generally get, especially the more senior their role is. And early stage, everyone's a senior role. So what I mean by that is where they're coming from, what their capabilities are. Are they someone who can manage a whole bunch of other people and things like that? Because those are the kind of factors that really come into play. So to me, the equity ends up just being a component of the offer. And that's really how I make it a really basic thing. And it ends up being negotiated on a per hire basis early on. I've seen people give up 5% of their company to an early hire. I've seen people give up no equity to an early hire. And it all is based on who that early hire is and what their capabilities are today.
Right. A lot of people play the equity game in the early days in a framework. I heard a founder say this before, and I heard an investor say this before. It was like, well, you need to give early employees as little equity as you can get away with, right? You can get reasonably away with, which I assume reasonably is without totally demotivating the person or taking too much advantage of them. I'm not exactly sure how much I like that framework, but I heard that. I know that on the flip side, I know of many cases where an early employee might have gotten a little too little equity, vesting or no vesting, right? Maybe the early package was not fully represented of how important their role was down the line and how the company realized that. And I know that in many of these cases, it was actually fairly simple to rectify that, given that the founders wanted that and they realized, hey, this person is kind of more like a founder. This person was totally crucial. And we don't think that the equity package we had negotiated in the early days really represents what we think this person's ownership should look like. So let's give him more. I've seen this happen quite often, and I've seen this happen in a very straightforward and simple manner. And people are always happy about more, right? But the flip side has always been a lot messier and very, very tough, where I've seen a bunch of examples where people have given somebody too much equity and might have not realized that within the one-year cliff, or the too much was not so much that they wanted to, like, you know, fire the person, but it was too much in the way that it created resentment within the founding team or the board that this person just, or with other employees, that this person has too much equity for the kind of value that they actually bring to the table. And they just negotiated really well in the early days. And then trying to go back or trying to reapproach the person and kind of renegotiate the equity down, that's almost impossible, at least almost impossible, unless, you know, you're down for a lot of, like, legal issues.
It doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Right. So I think your biggest tip there, like, this is huge, is that, you know, really be thoughtful about how much you're giving away. And it's better to give away less than more if you don't want to have that issue as you described.
Yeah, all within reason, right? Because you want people to be happy and do great work and not constantly be feeling like they've been taken advantage of.
And I can give you a rule there. Honestly, like, if somebody has more than 1%, even at that early stage, there better be a really good justification for it. Or what's going to happen is later on, the board and all these things are going to come up. You know, usually a fair place is like a quarter to a half point in the company. And this is obviously, you're giving away shares, not percentages, but, like, they usually end up being an equivalent percentage at the current stage of the business. That 1% number is, like, once you get past about 0.75%, 1%, that's when people feel like they've been too generous. And I know that's scary because, like I said, I've seen companies give away 5%. And so that's just a rule, so that people have a rule around, like, when it starts getting a little crazy.
Yeah, and I've told this piece of advice from an employee point of view. When you think, the advice they give a lot of employees is that, you know, yes, look at the equity number, and you need to understand the context and believe that this is a fair offer to you and this is the right offer to you and all these that good stuff. But to me, at the core of it all, from a person that's receiving equity from the founding team or from that startup, at the core of it is trust, right? Because I have to understand, like, well, my point of view has always been that if you join a company and they give you equity, if you can trust the founders and they want to take advantage of you and dilute you or do any kind of other shenanigans, they're probably going to have an opportunity to do that. So if you think they're not trustworthy people, doesn't matter how good or bad the offer looks like, they could take advantage of you because they're going to have probably more power and more leverage in their position. If you don't trust them from a different point of view, where you think they're honest and good people, but you think they might be the type of people that can be taken advantage of, maybe an investor or somebody on the board might push them out of the company or pressure them to do certain things, then again, you have to ask yourself, do I trust? Do I want to put the next 5 to 7 years of my life, pour that into this company and trust that the people I've negotiated this deal with will not take advantage of me or not be taken advantage of easily? Because in both situations, your equity might be more or less worth than what you thought it should or could or would be, because typically, you know, if you're if you don't have a position on the board, if you don't have certain terms that are attached to your equity, you're not going to be able to prevent certain things to happen into you. So that is a question a lot of times I find people don't ask themselves as seriously as they should. Do I really trust the people I negotiate with to be fair long term and to be around long term? Because if the power structure changes, or if these people are from the get-go not people I think are honest and trustworthy, then no matter what kind of an equity deal I negotiate with, I might get into trouble down the line because they have some leverage and some power I don't.
Yeah, I agree. I,